Je suis Charlie. I am Charlie. That was the slogan that went viral after the terrorist attacks in France that killed 17. And then the large Paris Unity March. The major theme, democracy and freedom will not be restricted. If the French feel that the democracy and freedom of speech is violated, then why is it okay to profane Islam? But is it a crime to offend Israel? Why is it okay then to question multiculturalism? Isn't that in itself a form of discrimination? Freedom of speech and religion under the microscope, along with countries who have supported extremists and terrorists, in this edition of The Debate.
The terrorist attacks on the French satirical weekly Charlie Hebdo that has a history of touching a raw nerve with Muslims has brought to the limelight one of the man's basic rights, freedom of speech, and how it's applied in the West. France boasts liberty as one of its triple republican values, and freedom of speech and expression is one that ensues from the core foundations of modern France. But not all Western governments tolerate freedom of speech to its core. Every one of them has their own red lines. And Israel, the Holocaust, and any single matter associated with it is a no-go area. Charlie Hebdo has published anti-Islam cartoons several times, outraging Muslims all across the world as they consider their religious principles and figures sacred, whom must not be disrespected. But for the satirical weekly that sees no limits in poking fun, some topics are red lines and off-limits. The magazine fired one of its cartoonists in 2008 for a piece that was deemed anti-Semitic. France even banned anti-Israel demos in July in the heat of fatal Israeli offensive on the Gaza Strip. Take the very recent incident during the Paris Unity rally when a BBC presenter and reporter, Tim Wilcox, raised a counter-argument against one of the protesters who defended the Jews. Wilcox was quick to fend off anti-Semitism allegations, saying his answer came out wrong, but he's now under pressure to resign. Don't forget French comedian Dieudonné, who's under investigation for a Facebook post saying, "I feel like Charlie Koulibaly." He combined Charlie Hebdo with Amédée Coulibaly, who police say was behind killing four hostages at a kosher supermarket in Paris. Police say he's defending terrorism. The anti-Semitism's dark, frightening cloud is hanging over all Europe. English cartoonist Robert Edwards was also put behind bars in 1981 for drawing a cartoon that was considered offensive to the Board of Deputies of British Jews.
Well, in 1981, I was imprisoned for 12 months on account of a complaint from the Board of Deputies of British Jews. I drew some cartoons which were published and were deemed to be anti-Semitic.
Police forces across France have been reinforced and Jewish sites are being protected 24/7. But we don't hear much about Armin Merabet, the Muslim police officer who was killed in the Charlie Hebdo attack. And now French Muslims are bearing the brunt of violence. There have been more than 50 anti-Muslim attacks across France since last week's shooting. Limiting freedom of speech is one thing and openly supporting Israel and Zionism is another. Maybe France should give liberty a second chance and think twice.
Let's find out what our guest thinks about this. Investigative journalist Tony Gosling joins us from Bristol. We have journalist and political commentator Richard Millett, who joins us from London. Gentlemen, welcome. Tony Gosling, I'll start with you. In your opinion, what does it mean when the French came out in droves saying, "Je suis Charlie," I am Charlie?
Well, I think it's pretty clear from the French population's point of view, and most of these were Parisians, they absolutely abhor the massacre at the offices of this magazine, and everyone wanted to show, as people did here in Britain too, solidarity with the journalists. There's absolutely no excuse for this kind of attack, even though that there is a war going on in the Middle East with many Western troops in many different countries. And there's been covert operations as well as overt operations. I mean, we've seen horrors in Syria and Libya, which have been supported by the Saudis and their friends in the West. There's no excuse for this kind of attack on journalists and a magazine. I think many people have been expecting some kind of blowback from this in different countries. We obviously had the 7/7 attacks in London back in 2005, nearly 10 years ago. And this was no real surprise because the actual root of the problem is Western intervention in these countries, which are so oil rich. The Arabs are sitting on all that wonderful oil, and it seems the West just cannot resist the temptation to invade and to bring their big multinational corporations in to these countries, which you know, sometimes have been politically destabilized beforehand. And this is blowback time. But there's also some other aspects to the attack, which I think are really important from a journalistic point of view. This is simply from how it's reported. Now, I noticed as soon as the guys who are alleged to have carried out the attack at the Charlie Hebdo were killed by police, all of the terminology changed from talking about them as the alleged attackers to now they are just simply the attackers, these people who've been named. But the trouble is, of course, we have to go on this now to match up these names to the people in black outfits with balaclavas on that we saw in the centre of Paris on video attacking these offices is the unnamed anonymous police spokespeople's name for it. So their word for it. So I think there's a real journalistic problem here in that what we're doing is we're saying these guys are responsible, we're making conclusions about who's done it, why, when, etc., before the facts have absolutely been established and tested. And there's no way that journalists anywhere in the world should be simply taking anonymous police spokespeople's word as fact. And this always needs to be challenged. So you know, ultimately, Je suis Charlie means let's stand side by side with the journalists in this and the cartoonists in this horrific attack. But I think many people who actually rallied in Paris yesterday feel betrayed by the fact that they came out to support the magazine and they found that all of the coverage around the world about it seemed to be about these various leaders. You know, suddenly on the scene appears David Cameron, Benjamin Netanyahu in front of the cameras. Essentially, what they're doing is they're hijacking, from the media point of view, that demonstration. And I'm sure many people, I've spoken to a contact of mine in Paris, who once he realized that these leaders were using this as a photo opportunity, actually left the march.
Right. We're going to get to that in a minute, but I'd like to ask you, Richard Millett, our guest there, Tony Gosling, talks about the journalists and how they were attacked. But I'm assuming that one of the things that was violated here is the freedom of speech, which is what many people are saying we're not going to stand for that being violated. What are your thoughts about Mr. Wilcox from BBC, Richard Millett?
Well, my thoughts about, Mr. Wilcox. Yes, well, he was, his interview that you showed beforehand was obviously completely breached the BBC guidelines against bias. I mean, he was supposed to be doing an interview with someone, and her English wasn't 100, wasn't well, it was very good, but not that good. And he suddenly ambushed her when she was talking about how scared Jews are in France, and actually Jews are scared in many parts of the world now, not just France, but particularly in France, and they're leaving France in very high numbers. 7,000 last year went to live in Israel from France. And he questioned her, obviously, about the Israeli-Palestinian conflict. Now, how you would go from a woman saying how scared she is as a Jew to live in France because the shop that was attacked was a Jewish shop. Jews were specifically targeted by these terrorists. They could have gone to any other shop, but they Koulibaly specifically chose a Jewish shop in which to take hostages and kill four Jewish people in there. So how would a journalist who's supposed to be unbiased, just supposed to be doing an objective job, an objective report, to get from a person what they think, how on earth does someone jump from an anti-Semitic, anti-Jewish terror attack against Jews to a conflict thousands of miles away? In a way, it seems to be, well, it's not only a breach of BBC guidelines, and yes, he should be investigated, and possibly there should be some sort of sanction taken against him, not necessarily losing his job, but maybe there should be not just an apology that he made, that you showed on Twitter to a few thousand people. I mean, this broadcast was seen worldwide, so maybe the BBC should actually be making a full apology for an absolutely dreadful report. And I mean, he says it was unintentional. I mean, what's unintentional about it? Supposed to be an intelligent guy, but he also has form. Now, Mr. Wilcox recently also in a discussion about a tax called the Mansion Tax that is aimed at people who own properties in Britain which are worth over £2 million, he said that Jews would be against that tax, as if that, you know, Jews are very wealthy. This is also a kind of, well, it is, it's a racist thing to say, to assume, that, you know, that the Jews and money, we've heard this before. So Mr. Wilcox, it's not only this interview that you've just mentioned, but also this other comment about Jews in relation to the mansion tax. And to go from a Jewish attack to the Middle East is appalling, okay. Dreadful.